Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We've got a lot of heated Aggies on the text line. Just want to remind everybody that we don't hate Texas A&M.
We don't.
We just see where people are coming from.
Look, you're winning the recruiting war. Let's just admit that it has nothing to do with College Station.
It's not the lure of
hey, it's better than Starkville. You got that. But is it better than Oxford? Is it better than Baton Rouge? Is it better than Gainesville? Is it better than Athens? Is it better than even bleeping Nashville, where Vanderbilt is? Like, just relax. It's fine.
Y'all aren't winning on the field. You don't have a cool town. You don't have history. You have to be paying them. And that's fine.
But
just admit that.
And it's working.
I hope Texas starts paying people and gets the number one recruiting class. I don't care about that.
It's crazy that Texas has all this money and can't pay players and no one's getting drafted. And you can rub that in their face.
They're paying players. Now they are.
Not good ones.
I mean, it hasn't worked out. Or it's actually more of a development issue if you want to go full
Bijan Robinson might get drafted in the third round. Yeah!
No, he'll get drafted in, you know, the 20s, and everyone say it's awful because he's a running back.
Right.
Yeah, that probably will be the case.
Vanessa and Gallant, we're rolling along on a Thursday. There is some news regarding the situation involving Deshaun Watson, still a top story, of course, in the NFL. And here in Houston, a little bit to a certain extent, since these incidents happen in Harris County, most of them. Per Sarah Barshop of ESPN, another lawsuit has been filed against Deshaun Watson. So that brings the total, guys, to 23 active civil lawsuits. According to the petition, the plaintiff, quote, changed her mind about filing a lawsuit after watching the HBO Real Sports piece. That was the one with Soledad O'Brien and hosted by Bryant Gumbel. Rusty Harden, of course, Deshaun Watson's lawyer vehemently denies these claims, as do his entire lawyer team. We've talked about these different lawsuits, how most of them sound the same. I'm going to share why this one sounds a little bit different to me, and I don't know if this will make a difference. There's a chance that it doesn't, but I think that the timing is critical because, as Roger Goodell has said, the NFL investigation is almost done. Rusty Harden said that as well. So I think the timing matters, but there's also a third party involved in this lawsuit. The petition highlighted that, quote, a new U salon spa provided women for Watson. Dion Lewis, the owner of the spa, facilitated massages for Watson and knew Watson was attempting to have sex with her employees. So this is all backed by receipts, Cash App receipts, and text messages that are included in the petition documents. Watson paid Dion Lewis at least $5,000 for her work to set up the massages. This may turn into nothing, and I am certainly not alleging anything involving trafficking, prostitution, pimping, all of those things, which are very real and very serious problems in the U.S. and around the world. But this involving a third party where Watson is paying a woman to set up these massages, I think that's something that could be a red flag, something that could cause some attention.
There weren't enough already.
Right. Well, you know, there's also reports that there could be a 24th lawsuit. Now, people listening may say, there's already 22. What does number 23 and 24? I just say timing. I say timing plus the fact that there was a real sports piece that aired.
That, I think, has a lot to do with the fact that there are two more now. But what are you to say that there won't be more? And the more that there are, the more cases, and the longer it'll take for all of this to go away. I mean, this is going to be going on into 2024.
Yeah.
At least right now.
There was also reports of Deshaun trying to settle for around $100,000, which is a much higher number than I had heard before. We're interested to see where this happens. We have, of course, tweets and texts that always say this is Cleveland's problem now. This is still one of the top stories in the NFL. This is still one of the top quarterbacks.
It happened here.
All of these cases, most of them are Harris County. So if there is a trial, trials, if there are any more things involving the legal matters, they're going to happen here.
Yep. Look, are you sick of it? I get it. But, you know, look, if you're going to play program director on the text line, like, this is legitimately happening in our backyard. And it does affect the Texans in terms of their draft position in the next year. I really, every single day, I feel more and more certain that he's going to get suspended the whole season. I think that the NFL is going to have to really come down. And, I mean, why has this taken so long for them to make that decision? You know, why haven't they made it now? And there are other things taking place at this point in time that could be just as impactful as the actual Watson investigation, specifically how the NFL and how the independent investigation handles the John Gruden leaked emails and Gruden's lawsuit against the league, and of course the investigation into Daniel Snyder. Like, a lot of things going on right now.
A lot of things happening for sure, and there is kind of an update. You just talked about Daniel Snyder this morning. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reporting that the House Oversight Committee has requested NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Commanders owner Daniel Snyder appear before the committee at a hearing on June 22nd. The NFL recently responded and said that they have cooperated. They will cooperate. This is all about the hostile work environment, workplace culture. This is about the sexual harassment, which is alleged by Daniel, by women against Daniel Snyder and others. And then, of course, that he was keeping a second book and hiding profits from the NFL and claiming that money came from Kenny Chesney concerts.
The bigger issue to them probably than what's going on with this misconduct. But when you add in that to what's going on with Deshaun Watson, and now all of a sudden this workplace misconduct alleged against female employees, against Mark Davis, there's a lot. There's a lot going on right now. And I think that the league has its hands tied. They're going to have to come down with some sort of execution, if you will, a metaphorical one. And is Roger Goodell going to be the one that takes the bullet? I'm curious. I'm wondering how this all plays out, but it does feel like you have to connect all of them.
There always has to be a fall guy, right? That's like, there always has to be somebody. We saw it in Houston. There were two. It was A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. In every scandal, there's a fall guy, somebody who gets fired.
And if there isn't, find one. That's what Chris Carter told us once.
Yes. That's where I got it from.
Yeah.
Find the fall guy.
Find
the fall guy.
Really speaks volumes about Chris Carter's friends, I would imagine, and his relations with other humans. But that's neither here nor there. Find the fall guy. That's all that matters. Save your ass.
According to this release, it was February 3rd of this year that the committee had a roundtable with a bunch of those women that had made accusations, and they detailed sexual harassment, abuse, workplace misconduct by top executives, including team owner Daniel Snyder, and explained how the league failed to address these issues. Daniel Snyder making passes at women at team dinners, games, etc. So you think Roger Goodell could take the fall for this?
I saw a piece up, and look, it's not like coming from one of the primary accounts.
Sure.
You hear the Sports Illustrated name, it does not carry the same weight. But there's an attorney that was, I guess, speaking with one of the Sports Illustrated little satellites, specifically the one that covers the Raiders. And one of the, you know, the headline reads essentially that, like, Goodell's job could be in jeopardy over this. That, in fact, one attorney's predicting Goodell will lose his job.
Wow.
Now, that's extreme, and I don't know that I'm going to take this guy's word as law, but when he outlines all of the things that Gruden has in his, essentially, holster for this upcoming trial, this upcoming investigation, like, I mean, they are going to make a lot of things come out into the open that the NFL figured would never get out. And the amount of things that have been stupidly said on emails. I mean, how many people work with coworkers who are very willing on company documents to just insert a joke into an email?
Right.
There's a lot of that going on with these owners. Let's not act like they're all the sharpest tools in the shed here, that they're, you know, going through a legal team before they decide to send some sort of memo. And that's, I mean, the big thing with Daniel Snyder, much like the big thing with John Gruden, is there's apparently a lot of messages which are in writing, which means that they can be shown in court, contextless, toneless. It's very damning when you have that stenographer just reading off the things that you wrote down.
Here's where I think it could get interesting. John Gruden strikes me as somebody that could be vindictive. The problem
is oh, 100%.
That he is. If he tries to throw the Commanders under the bus, he could be indicting his brother, Jay Gruden, who was head coach there when a lot of these things were happening. I have no knowledge that Jay was involved in any of this, by the way. I'm simply saying that I think that that could be an interesting angle because if I'm John Gruden, look, I'm not agreeing with anything that man said at all. Awful, awful, awful things. I know people who know him. They say he's always been fake and ridiculous and that nobody liked him. We heard the things that Keyshawn Johnson had to say about him. But if there's a huge investigation and you're the only one that's canned and it didn't even involve you, that is ridiculous.
Seriously, because he wasn't the subject of it.
No. This was them investigating the Commanders.
It was a great distraction, too. Hey, did we find things that were said that are racist and homophobic that'll not just blow up right. with NFL media, but it'll blow up all over all of the major news outlets, and it will occupy the collective consciousness of this country? Yeah, I mean, because that's, I mean, the misdirecting and distracting, that is the tool of today's media is to move on to something that is juicy and never get the follow-up
details.
Yeah, that's
why all y'all are talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Well, I mean, it is a great,
yeah,
really
exactly.
fun trial.
See, you're falling victim
but
to
I mean,
your
how
own
can't I? She
theory.
Took a poop on his bed.
Oh.
And her lawyers are unbelievably incompetent.
Yeah, for actors, they're not acting very
it's
well.
It's much more entertaining. Like, you know, the Russia-Ukraine thing, it's gotten stale, you know? You gotta... There's no Amber Heard pooping on a bed in that war.
Switch it up a little bit. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our Wine Wednesday segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we have a lot of anger on the text line. If you're just now tuning in, we've been talking about the Jimbo Fisher. Guys, you'll hear our Wine Wednesday segment. I'm sorry, I have to talk about this because this is, people are heated. We said, and Sean beautifully mapped out what we think is just a fact, which is, yeah, you have to pay people to go to College Station, especially top recruits with NIL, because College Station is not the sexiest town. And people are not happy. The latest
text...
I
can't believe you said that about College Station, Vanessa. Unbelievable.
To me? I went to college in Indianapolis. What the hell am I going to say?
Don't you know that College Station's only 3.5 hours away from Dallas?
Just 8 hours from Lubbock, Vanessa.
2141.
1 hour from Waco.
Said, what does Baton Rouge have? A lot of churches, swamps, and mosquitoes? Or Fayetteville? Or Oxford? I didn't even go to A&M. I lived in College Station.
You can't hit
it's a
Oxford.
Nice area. Again, there's a reason. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the state.
What I'll say, look at the history of Texas A&M football. See how many number one recruiting classes they have. Look at now, they have the number one recruiting class. What changed?
Go back to the days of what, Jackie Sherrill, where he was clearly paying guys. They had great recruiting classes. They had great teams. Like, that's generally what adds up to get young football players to go to a small college town to play football there.
Historically hasn't won anything.
That's
the other part of it. LSU, 3 titles in 20 years.
It's for the most part, it has been one texter. And I would say politely to this texter.
Oh, it is the same guy.
I'm assuming that he's been the one that's been like sending the paragraphs in.
Gotcha.
I would just say like,
and we appreciate you listening, by the way.
Yes, we do. I would just ask like, how old are you? Do you have kids? Like, hey, you might like it, but I would imagine that it is not going to give you the best first impression when you go there. Baton Rouge, like everywhere in Louisiana, is literally a giant party town. Oxford, if you have talked to anyone who has had any game day experience there, it is another world entirely. Oxford is this weird, bougie, fancy place that seems like it is from another time and another universe where you got like kids wearing tuxes going to games and stuff like that. But like ones that have, what's the kind of the suits that are extremely light or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Seersuckers.
It's ridiculous. Tuscaloosa, same kind of vibe. Like it's, College Station is different. Some people really like it. We're not saying at all that it's bad to like. We're just saying if you're trying to recruit players, you probably have to go a little bit extra to get them to come there. Well, no matter how you feel about it, that does not mean that is how they feel about it or how anyone else feels about it.
When you have a player who has the five hats on the table and proverbial five hats in their mind of thinking, where do I go? And their options are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, you know, whatever, the U, and then Texas A&M or Texas and Texas A&M. And you look at the fact that Georgia has definitely won a national championship. They just won it. Alabama's, you think they've won a couple in the last couple of years. And then, you know, you have places with nice weather. Yeah, of course, A&M, they're 8-4. And so you're going to have to give them a little something extra to not only go to somewhere where it's 8, where they went 8-4, but where it's College Station.
And there are other dynamics at play, too. Like for the Baton Rouge, it is the only school in Louisiana that matters at football. They're it. Texas A&M is in a state with like 5 to 6 programs that are relevant. It is on the border of, Louisiana, which also can sometimes sneak into Texas, steal recruits. Technically, in the eyes of many, it is, compared to Texas, at least in terms of past track records. Not like UT has the most glorious history either, but it is technically the second school in the state. I know that a lot of people take issue to that, but much like with Michigan and Michigan State, Michigan State's not a bad school, but it's the secondary school in that state. It's just how it goes, okay? We're just talking about the perception. That does not mean it's necessarily the reality, and I'm sure that some of these kids who come there, they're like, wow, this is actually great.
4518 says, Paul's wondering how Syracuse draws players. Ask Vanessa about South Bend. I'm guessing this person's implying money.
I would admit
Notre Dame, absolutely.
I've said this all the time. I have no idea how Syracuse is good at anything. That is the most miserable place in the country during the school year. It is snowing from October through May. That is the whole year.
That is, but damn, you got some good broadcasters and y'all love to talk about it. Okay, it is time for our Wine Wednesday segment.
Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
Paul, you want to go first?
Yeah, first off, there's nothing worse than when a hold music is catchy. Nothing worse. I have a hold music song stuck in my head.
This is kind of hold music.
Yeah, I know, but at least this is like elevator hold music. So I there's this company that I've been calling with, and I don't have an issue with them, but they just don't have a ton of people to pick up the phone. And I've heard I've been in the process of moving from one place to another. I've heard it so much, and it's stuck in my head. Like, I just hear it. I'm not going to sing it right now because it'll be restuck in my head. But the big issue I have, so you guys have heard me whining about the move from the apartment to the new condo. I had talked with the people at the old apartment complex with a list of major issues there, and I've always expressed it to them politely. And they kept on saying, yeah, we'll get you paperwork to say that you're going to get out of your lease rent-free. Yeah, we're going to get you the paperwork. They clearly did not think that I was actually going to leave the apartment at the end of the month, because they did not send me the paperwork to essentially confirm that I am leaving penalty-free from the apartment until 3 minutes before the... close of business yesterday, which would have led to June 1st today.
Sure.
Right. It was one of the most obvious things that I've ever seen. Like, hey, we're just going to act in bad faith this entire bleeping time. So thank you, Cushman and Wakefield, for the absolutely miserable last couple of months.
Ooh.
Call
him out, Paulie.
Honestly, I was willing to walk away, but the fact that it took you until 3 minutes before the close of business to send out the confirmation email because you didn't think I was going to be out in time when I asked you for it every single day for 3 weeks is ridiculous. I'm done.
Sean, what's your Wine Wednesday?
I had trouble coming up with it until, I don't know, the last couple segments. College Station's apparently on my neck. I felt like I was being very fair. I've had a lot of good times in College Station, like a handful. And now apparently they think that I hate their city just because I don't think that college football players would want to go there. And I don't know. They're having enough wine for both of us. I don't really have one other than that.
That's been the big wine. There's someone whining on the Twitch, by the way, that no one's paying attention to the
Rangers. I just saw that. Yeah, the
classic
Rangers.
Total Dallas. The
shout
Rangers?
Out to the Rain. No, yeah, exactly.
They exist.
The Hockey Rangers. Shout out to them for coming back from a 2-game deficit, 2 series in a row. I do know that much because I saw the headline on SportsCenter.
You know what's funny, Vanessa? I did not care, and even though like I'm a Lightning fan, I'm again like the worst, most casual Lightning fan that there is. I did not care about this series until I found out they were playing New York, and now I am so in because I hate New York.
Yeah, you do hate New
in.
York. 1194, I hate when people order a package for an apartment or a gated community and don't provide a gate code. Then when you call them, they don't answer.
Yeah.
Try to call you at work when you're already home, blah, blah, blah. I can imagine as a package deliverer.
If you're an Amazon guy,
that
too.
That is incredibly annoying.
You got to like pee in a bottle while driving.
I've done that.
Because you're on a schedule there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have too, but I haven't been required to like get from one place to the next to the next to the next all day.
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, why'd you volunteer that? There's no reason. You're
no, Vanessa's a, she is a woman of the people, okay?
I am an open book.
Yeah,
I am an open book.
Sometimes you gotta go.
Here's my Wine Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Boomers asking us why we can't do things without considering the context, right? So this started when I saw a tweet where somebody older was like, these young kids don't have barbecues or cookouts anymore. Well, it's because we don't have houses. We still have get-togethers, but do we have monthly barbecues or cookouts? No, and it just led me down the rabbit hole, and I love boomers. We have a lot of listeners that are baby boomers. My parents are baby boomers. I truly love you. I like older guys, but you guys got to stop complaining about our generation and what we do. Why can't we have healthy relationships and get married, you ask? Maybe because 50% of you got divorced. No offense. Why can't we own a house? Because we don't have the freaking money. Why do we need happy pills? I don't know. 9/11, recession, COVID, all things that we've experienced, a divisive nation.
You guys grew up
with white picket fences. Your parents, just simply the golden generation, they worked very hard, but they just had to put a little 10% down for some house and the dirt. Why can't we have cookouts, own a house, healthy relationships, all that? It's because of you guys.
It would be nice to have cookouts. I wish I was better at grilling.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm less of a man.
Shout out to my friends that can grill. My mom grills.
Texter said price of groceries right now. Yeah.
Thanks for the inflation, boomers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the inflation.
Yeah.
We, of course, want to hear you guys' Wine Wednesday, so you can reach out to us as well. Sorry, we're not going to talk hockey for our resident Rangers
hockey talk.
Fan.
Eh?
How about hockey? Let's do that.
He is
hockey.
Legitimately a Texas Rangers fan, and he is pissed that you're confusing his Texas
Rangers
with the New York Rangers.
I thought he meant the New York Rangers.
No, I like that you did that. I thought you were doing it intentionally.
No, I thought he meant the New York Rangers.
I am now confused because I don't want to talk about either of them, to be honest, but I at least know about the Texas Rangers. I don't know. Who is he talking about?
Who should we
be talking about?
I don't know. Apparently, Paul
Corey Seager.
What?
Marcus Semien.
He's paid a lot of money. You got a new stadium.
You know,
for
what?
Some reason, that's cool.
Speaking to our lovely boomers who are able to own their homes, if you own yours, listen to me. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you probably pay too much for your home, but you don't shop for better rates because it is a huge hassle. It doesn't have to be anymore, thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get that quote in just 15 seconds to save some cash. So text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 23-23-23. Their system will ask for your address. Send that back, and you get that full quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year is saving over $870. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text away from massive savings. Again, that is MONEY to 23-23-23. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, is Jalen Green the next Kyrie Irving? We'll explain next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
4965 on the text line says, wow, y'all are some whiners. The segment is called Wine Wednesday.
They were thinking there would be alcohol.
That is the literal intention of the segment.
Alcohol?
Well,
I didn't get any either.
It's a play on words, right?
It's 11:30 in the morning. Cersei Lannister would drink this early, so
who's that?
I mean, why not us?
Who's
Game
that?
Of Thrones?
Nope, never seen it. Sean, have you seen Game of Thrones?
I was a sucker that didn't watch it for a long time, and then was like, "Oh, it's the final season. I'll catch up."
Yeah.
Whatever to cultural relevance, and then I watched 10 stinky episodes.
10
or 6 stinky episodes. How many stinky episodes were in the last season? Like it was a bunch.
6.
Or no, it wasn't a bunch. But
6
they were
or
long.
7.
Yeah.
Whatever the case,
they were all stinky.
It was not consistent with the earlier parts of the show where everyone died.
Where they weren't stinky. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of stinky, Kyrie Irving. You know what? I shouldn't say that. I don't know if Kyrie Irving is actually stinky. I have a feeling he may be into not
Kyrie
wearing
Irving
deodorant.
Kyrie doesn't believe in the concept of stink.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, a lot of aluminum and deodorant.
Yeah, I bet Kyrie Irving would listen to an argument against antiperspirant and against deodorant.
Right. I know Matthew McConaughey, I remember hearing that he did not wear deodorant. He may be one that I would make an exception for, but even though personal hygiene is big to me. Okay, Jalen Green, a Rockets rookie, has talked a little bit about Kyrie Irving being very important to him and how much he likes him. And Paul's thrilled about this. Quote, Kyrie Irving communicated with me here and there since high school. He was making everything, stop and pop threes, getting to the rim. He's so wiggly, getting downhill. Everything you see on TV, highlights and stuff, was right there in front of me. It was crazy to see. And again, his praise has continued. This concerned one Paul Gallant.
I don't want Jalen Green to be touched by the bad of the NBA, okay? I do not want him to all of a sudden get possibly half-baked ideas from one Kyrie Irving who has all sorts of takes. And I don't want Jalen Green to come back from summer workouts to say, you know, taxation without representation in the 1700s actually was the right call. I don't want to hear Jalen Green have new takes. He's a young guy. I'm sure that he will be very impressionable with Kyrie Irving, who, for whatever reason, despite being completely full of you-know-what, has developed quite the army of supporters across basketball who don't call him out and his ridiculous, rebel without a cause, I'm going to take stands against sensical things. Yes. Yes. He is the flat earther.
I kind of see the point about the moon stuff.
Right. Look, the vaccination stuff with Irving, if this was the only thing that he had to take on, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Like, he's actually making some good points on it. But because he has had so many bad opinions on so many different things that have to do with, just things that are common sense, that one situation, I'm like, I can't even allow you to have that as a good point. I just can't. I just think you're full of it, and I don't want Jalen Green around him. I just don't. I want Jalen Green to be influenced by good, positive, not believing
good
the earth is
only
flat role models. Yes.
He once, when he was with the Celtics, he once asked Brad Stevens, what does the word government mean to you?
No, he did not.
Yeah. That was one of those reported stories that comes out after he gets traded. And apparently Brad Stevens said, wait, what?
Brad Stevens, by the way, who went to a really, really smart college in Greencastle, Indiana, called DePaul. Not DePaul with an L, DePaul with a W. It's where Joe Shane went. It's where a bunch of sports-minded people that end up being GMs. So I can imagine Stevens' reaction.
But also, you have to remember, Jalen Green, 20 years old.
Very,
and Kyrie Irving, I said this last night when we talked about it. Kyrie Irving's whole philosophy is exactly, I can pinpoint it with he is freshman year dorm at 1 a.m., kind of deep,
yeah.
Of like, whoa, ever thought about that?
Oh, yeah.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And then you never think about it again.
It's so true, Sean. Oh, my God.
You've smoked half a joint. You're talking about the way that the world works, conspiracy theories.
Yeah, wow, that's messed up.
Damn, bro.
Right. My eyes hurt.
Put Ancient Aliens back on, dude.
Meanwhile.
Hey, you concerned about the UFO problem, too? The UFOs are among us, man. Another Jalen Green take next year.
What I want,
physical, they're more mental.
Right. I want Jalen Green to hang out with the Rockets players, which I think he does. They all have a lot of dogs per their Instagram stories that are very cute. But I don't know that the bonding with Kyrie Irving is the best idea.
That doesn't always work out so well. If you remember back in the day, DJ Swearinger had a crazy dog that bit Jadeveon Clowney.
That's right.
So I actually want Jalen Green to also stay away from dogs, Okay.
Protect Jalen Green at all costs is what Paul Gallant is saying.
Get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. Get him away from Kyrie Irving. Like, we don't need this stuff. Okay?
Speaking of former NBA players, J.J. Redick was talking about his time as a Duke basketball player. Sean, you brought this soundbite up. I like it.
You were one of the most hated players in college basketball, like, history. Like, obviously Duke as well, but, like, it just in college basketball in general. And there were times where you talked about quitting. Is it true that you changed your number at times, like your cell phone number?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, my sophomore year, I probably changed it 10 or 15 times. There were so many nights that year where I don't know who was the culprit. It was somebody from Duke that had a friend at another school that would pass along my number. And, you know, it was UNC fans mostly and Maryland fans mostly. And back then I had the Nokia, you know? And so like, I don't know if you could do this maybe in like the upgraded model, my junior and senior year, but early on, like you couldn't
like the snake
set
model.
An alarm and simultaneously have it on silent. So I would just get calls all night long, like 30, 40 calls. You know, as soon as like the number shows up at a Maryland party or at a Maryland bar, like my blowing up over and over and over again.
So I like how he dipped into the why it wasn't on silent, because that was my first inclination of like, well, why didn't you just turn your phone on silent? Those old school Nokia phones. It's a throwback.
Yeah. Flip phone era.
He wasn't maybe as hated as Christian Laettner, but you have to think among other fans, he was pretty close.
He's probably the most hated in the cell phone era.
Right. It's a good point.
Vanessa, have you ever held a flip phone? Have you ever had one?
I did not have a flip phone.
Sean Mapes, have you ever had a flip phone?
I had the brick, the Nokia bricks.
Okay.
And then I think I had a Samsung like slide.
Did you
one.
Have a flip phone?
That was my first phone. I had a flip phone for like 6 years.
You know what?
Motorola Razr?
Yeah. No, cheap. And I was on a prepaid plan, and my dad used to text me 5 cents because every single text I got cost me 5 cents, and I would only get $20 a month to send texts. Yikes. And make phone calls. So my dad would do that just to mess with me.
I did have a silver one, now that you bring it up. And I have a picture that I'll send the masses. This is very bold, but it's of me with my flip phone. And then I got upgraded to, it was called an Envy, and had it had a keyboard. And I thought that I was high freaking tech because I had a keyboard on my cell
yeah,
phone.
The keyboard,
oh, those are cool.
The keyboard. The
Samsung jump, Flip? Hell yeah.
Yeah, the jump from the, T9 texting to, like, the full keyboard was, like, one of those, like, big advancements in, like, 2008 that has now never been thought of again.
Yeah.
Do but I kind of miss great. The keyboard? I think I kind of miss the keyboard.
The texture of the keys
texture.
Made it easier to type.
I can't type with my thumbs. I can't. I just can't. It's awful.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk more about flip phones potentially, but also Najee Harris getting big mad about weight, the same way that I do. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
Stocks are looking to bounce this morning after yesterday's modest declines. Dow futures up about 120 points. The S&P up about 5. Bit of a tentative move here as European markets are mostly lower. Asia was mixed in overnight trade. Looks like OPEC may exclude Russia from any output increase that it may decide to engage in order to ease the price burden on other countries, particularly those that buy its oil. And we're seeing, however, oil prices still move higher as the war in Ukraine accelerates and the European Union has put an embargo on Russian oil. So up another $1.50 this morning, holding at $116 a barrel, off yesterday's high. Interest rates continue to move higher after President Biden said the Fed is on top of inflation like a laser. A bit of a mixed metaphor on my part there, but the yield on the 10-year note is 2.88%. The dollar is firmer. Gold's down 16 bucks to start the day as we wait on economic data. A look at employment from ADP due out shortly.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the situation and the beef involving Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Nick Saban basically saying at SEC Media Days that he doesn't regret what he said, probably shouldn't have called out Jimbo specifically in A&M, but that he still thinks NIL is a problem. This, of course, led to a conversation among the vegetarians, all of us here at Vanessa and Gallant, about College Station needing a little extra oomph, a.k.a. paying players, to get them to come to a team that's 8-4. That is College Station. We have some texters and callers that disagree with that. And for that, we bring in, is the name Pena? Our caller.
Pena.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
College Station isn't that bad, guys. I don't think you have to pay someone to really come and play football over here.
This is a real endorsement. It's not that bad.
What would you say are the selling points?
It's way worse.
Okay, so sell it to me. So I'm a young, stout African American running back,
okay.
And my five options for college are Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Texas, and LSU. Sell me on A&M.
We could take all the other schools out because one, you could bring in options. And Texas, because you know what? We're both in the great state of Texas. Mm-hmm. The best state in the world. The best state in the United States. We got the best food barbecue here. And we got some pretty dang good-looking ladies. But, hey, also, I got the phone to pick a call. Last week, I called, and Tim and Sean Mays behind the glass, they went at me because I'm a Spurs and a Celtics fan.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I was a kid.
You're a what? And a Celtics fan?
He's a Spurs and a Celtics fan.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I was a kid. Me and Vanessa are the same age.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the Spurs because of Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Greg Popovich. How can you not like those guys? Those are...
You could like them, but can you jump on the Celtics bandwagon in 2008, which is what you told us?
Astros bandwagon.
But I stopped rooting for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Did you?
I did. I don't like the Red Sox anymore, no.
But
you still like the Mariners and the Astros, and you were a young man.
Baseball's, not my cup of tea, so I feel like it's okay. But you know what? Fair point, Pedia. I mean, the counterpoint is, yes, I have just stayed on bandwagons of multiple teams. But the thing is, the Mariners are not good at baseball. The Astros are. The thing with the Spurs and the Celtics, for a long time, the Celtics weren't good. The Spurs were good, and... Pena, when he called in last week, he was like, yeah, you know, I started rooting for the Celtics around 2008. It was a ringing endorsement. I'm sure all the people from College Station were thrilled, though, with Pena's endorsement of College Station.
I want to be sold on it. Like, again, you're a young, you know, you're probably, like we've talked about, you're probably a young minority, and it's a mostly white, you know, white city and all of that.
It's a mostly white town.
Sure.
That is very different, and I would imagine would take some getting used to. I have gotten used to my Aggie friends in the way that they act when they watch games, and you know what? It's fine. Like, it's different,
but
though.
But it's very specific.
Very different. They care. Like, they really do, and there's nothing wrong with caring. I'm just saying, if you are competing with all these schools and you don't traditionally win, where there are so many other schools in the SEC that do, and there are so many other schools in Texas and just in the area that are competing with you for recruits, you have to do something extra. And let's just be honest, College Station is not going to be a selling point. If we're talking about like NCAA football, the video game franchise, where you have recruiting, if we're talking about like campus, we're probably giving College Station at best, what, a C+, something like that?
I haven't been, so I don't feel like I can. And again, I went to college in Indianapolis, so... You went to Syracuse, Sean went to Texas, I went to a D2 school.
I have. It's not particularly scenic. So
yeah, it's like I would maybe B-. But my whole thing, just to all the Aggies that are mad at us, I just want to ask the question, why do you care if they get paid or not to come to Texas A&M? If you're going to have the number one recruiting class, why do you care that maybe your town isn't the most
just
attractive
own it.
Reason? Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Why, if you win a national championship because you get the number one recruiting class, why does it matter how the guys got there?
As I said, Paul Feinbaum said on ESPN this morning that he knows of a college recruit that's starting asking price is $3 million. Okay, so this is just going to evolve more, and eventually it probably is going to come down to who pays more. Guys that get paid a lot, NFL players. Najee Harris, not happy There was a tweet that went around in a report that his weight had increased from 232 to 244. Bruh, I weighed 240 last year. Reporters really don't be knowing nothing, just tweeting stuff, Harris wrote.
He didn't write stuff. He said a bad word.
I can imagine as an NFL player that this would be annoying. He's the first player I think I've ever seen get upset about being accused of a little bit of weight gain.
It's weird to see the listed weights and heights of a lot of players for different programs because generally it is off. It is not actually accurate. We have seen this many, many times in not just in football, in basketball. You'll see a guy listed at a specific height and a specific weight.
Yeah, I see it on dating apps too. You are not 6 foot, sir.
Guilty. LeBron James. Yeah. Is someone whose body type has fluctuated a million times. Has his weight listed online ever fluctuated? No, not at all. And I mean, we have seen LeBron as a tank, and we have seen lean LeBron too. In football, it is interesting though, because I would imagine that some people are saying like, oh, he was listed at 232 pounds, and now he's listed at 244, and they're thinking to themselves, oh, he's gained weight. How is that going to affect him? I will say that when someone actually does change their body type, it does not always have the best effect. I would say like this year with Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel apparently extremely healthy offseason, and he has not been hitting particularly well this year. It's not to say that that's the reason. It's just, you know, you change your weight, people do notice, and if a listing of a weight is changed, I mean, what, are they supposed to be with him and Najee Harris at all times and like, you know, holding a scale underneath every single step he takes?
It happens,
That's
Najee.
What's listed online, and people have some
the
thoughts
off-season.
On it.
We all get a little thick in the off-season. All right, it is now time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, the first one comes courtesy of the New York Post.
This is concerning.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
You've
Alberto
seen all the UFOs?
Caballero, Caballero, PhD student at the University of Vigo in Spain, authored a study and says that there could be four extraterrestrial civilizations in the Milky Way that could attack our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Not happy about this.
Malicious alien civilizations. And I think we've talked about this before. First off, there's been a lot of chatter and conversation in the government over UFO sightings of late, which at the very least should have you curious to know more. And at the same time, there are apparently people on this planet that are like sending out a beacon to alien civilizations that, hey, come meet us. It'll be great. And I just can't help but think, like, if you've watched the movie or read the book, War of the Worlds, you would know that the Martians die because they are exposed to Earth's bacteria. But who's to say, given the whole, I don't know, Europe visiting the New World, bringing over all sorts of diseases, killing 90% of the population with said diseases, why would you want people from another planet to potentially come here? Because the exact same thing could happen. Why would you ever want that? Forget if they're malicious or not. They could be nice, cool aliens that just want to, like, you know, smoke the reefer with us. But, I mean, you might be getting sick from all these people, let alone, hey, they come here and they invade all of us. I don't get it. We want to stay invisible as long as we possibly can. If you haven't already, play the video game franchise Halo. You do not want to touch that Covenant. You do not want these aliens to come here and glass us all to death. Thank you.
I love this next story, which is that apparently Yuli Gurriel, among others, counts himself as a man who loves cologne and feels like he's not complete in his baseball uniform without it, according to the New York Times.
Well, it's very strange. There's a whole article about how cologne could be a PED.
I didn't believe it when I first saw you sent it. I read it. I can see it.
I still can't. I'm like, this seems like it's another in a long line of superstitions that someone might have to make them feel like they're better at something that they do.
So I'm not supporting journalism, so I can't read this article. What's
I
the case?
I support it.
I'm rooting for the darkness, if democracy dies in darkness. is it like sticky stuff, or is it literally just psychosomatic?
It's psychosomatic. It's not saying it actually enhances your performance because the cologne gets in your body. But the article ends by talking about Framber Valdez and Gurriel using a ton of fragrance. And it also mentions Dusty Baker. Astros manager Dusty Baker, who would get sprayed with the cologne by his L.A. Dodgers teammates Manny Mota, a Dominican, in the 70s, said his players make a point to come up to him for a pregame check. He added, quote, "They don't say, smell me, but they walk by." So this is an Astros thing. Oh. The Astros believe in the power of cologne.
They're wearing Sex Panther, as E315702 says on the Twitch stream.
That's a good one. I mean,
you know. What is it? It does make it seem, you know, based off of the percentages of Sex Panther, what is it, 50% of the time it works every time?
Yeah.
I would like to get that from the Astros with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that comes out to 0.75 batting average.
It's pretty good.
You'd lead the league.
Yeah. I can just hear Dusty Baker saying, they don't say smell me, but they make sure I walk by. All right, last story of the day. I love this one. The legendary John Madden returns to the cover of Madden. This one will be Madden 23, of course, and it's the first time since 2000 he has been on the cover.
He used to be on the cover every single year, and then they would introduce other players to the cover, and everyone was of the belief that there was a curse whenever someone was placed on the cover, that something would not... Something bad would happen to the player.
Well, he's dead, so what curse can there be? Not to be insensitive, but...
I think it's cool that they're bringing Madden back to the cover. But they should bring Madden commentary back as well.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to the guys that they have in now, but I want to hear Pat Summerall and John Madden from Beyond the Grave, or Al Michaels and John Madden.
Were you guys Madden players?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, heavy.
Religious. Heavy Madden?
Not super heavy, but pretty heavy.
Very heavy. I mean, the amount of controllers I broke, it was the only one video game that I ever broke controllers over. It was Madden.
Yeah.
Madden, I could not handle losing in that game. Nope.
Yep, John Madden on that cover of 2023. Thank you to all of our Aggies fans who stuck around and yelled at us. This was a fun day. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow with more Vanessa and
Should we pay them to come back to the show? Just they're getting paid to go to College Station?
You don't
Station?
Need to pay them because College Station's two hours from so as we heard. Coming up on 92.5 and 97.5, you have Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. That's next.
Peace.
I'm a young, stout African American running back.
ESPN 97.5. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.